Yeah, like what if Mike's psychic Mike Mob psychic powers is like his Shikaku?
Makes sense, because he couldn't control it. So I don't know. His rage, it's very interesting.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Herbal Synergies, the shop. I'm your host, Sinji, and with me, my co-host, as always, I don't know if they can hear this, but Bay!
What up?
What's up, Herbie? How you doing, buddy?
Shake it like leaves on a tree, baby.
Okay. Herbie. Mm-hmm. We're on season 3 of Mob, right?
Yeah.
So tell me why Country Roll fucked up 2 of my shows for me.
Dang.
The Blacksmith one, they put me in English dub, which I spent the first 10 minutes of the show trying to figure out if I've been watching it in English or Japanese. So I had to go to my history and like click on one of the previous episodes. And I'm like, oh, subtitled. Why the fuck am I in English? Right? Yeah. The next episode. Okay, so when I start watching an episode, in my notes, I will put the episode number and the title of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This week's episode of Mob was episode 10. So I click to continue to episode 10. Tell me why Crunchyroll put me in on a different fucking season.
Yeah, it's been doing that to me the past few times. I was like,
it put me in the fucking shit with the kid's father. And I'm like, it's a weird episode. I have a fucking flashback. Yeah. And like, dog, I think I got through the whole episode, and I was just like, this doesn't even make sense as to what I saw last time. I saw no resemblance of Mom getting up from this accident, like Irby said in the preview.
Yeah.
But you know what I did get this episode? I got to see the garden guy. I was like, oh, okay, so the garden guy was with him. And I think I saw 3 other people that popped up in the actual episode 10. I'm like, bro, what a fucking coincidence. I was like, of all like people to see in this episode, it was the one I saw in the fucking episode, the wrong episode I watched.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was weird. It was just weird. I chalked it up to a coincidence. I watched an extra episode I didn't have to, and it was one I've already saw. But on to the flavor. You got any flavors?
Gee, you know, I got a whole bunch of flavors.
I got 3.
Nah, I don't really have that many flavors. I think I'll probably go with my girl Frel. How she revived herself.
Went demon mode.
And it started wrecking everything.
Yeah, that's one of my flavors.
Yeah, I don't think I have one from Peach Boy. Had to give some love.
The only one I didn't have a flavor from was the Sacred Blacksmith. I got one from Mob when Mob tossed Blondie across the fucking city.
Hinazawa.
Yo, he just launched him. I was like, oh shit.
My man was beating up Hinazawa.
Mm-hmm. And then why he bald again? Anyway, we'll get there.
Blew off his hair.
And then Spy, when Twilight hit that first service, I'm like, oh, damn, Dabble?
That's what I said, too. I was like, my man dabbles? I was like,
all you saw him doing in a flashback was bouncing the ball up.
Yeah. I was like he was like toying with it. He was like, oh, let me see how to hit this up or hit this down. And then he did it. And I was like, oh, my man ball it. How about he dabble?
I was all for watching that next episode because I wanted to see the conclusion of the match.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, a tennis episode? I can get down with this.
Yeah, I was like, oh, tennis. Yeah, those people.
I enjoy tennis. You should, have you watched The Prince of Tennis, Herbie?
No.
You really should watch it.
I watched it. I might watch it when I have nothing else to do.
It's on Crunchyroll now. I think they might have dub, maybe.
I might not. Yeah. Maybe it's Maybelline.
The basics of it are very like, very strict to, like, the rules of tennis, and then it gets a little crazy towards the end, but it's still a good show.
That's not crazy anime.
But, yeah, that was the only flavor you had?
No, I had some other ones that are worthwhile mentioning later.
Okay. What would you like to talk about first, sir?
You just want to go ahead and knock out Chojin and Jujutsu first?
Yes. Okay, but if you want a good explanation, maybe you should talk about them.
Alright, I'll do that then.
I can probably handle Jujutsu, but Chojin's kind of just like, what did I read in Chojin? I read them both today, too. What substance did I actually read from Chojin?
Yeah, well, it wasn't much in a chapter, but 32.2. He pretty much, we continue when they get through the gate, and he tells him how he actually got there, that he saw someone else use their Chojin powers for cheap parlor tricks. So he basically forced them to a state of chaos and then took her powers, so now he creates gates to wherever he wants. And so his friends are alive. Then they mention a thing called, like, the Depriver. I'm not too sure what it is. I think that might be Tokyo's, like, end goal. Because wasn't one of them supposed to, like, end the world or something? So he might be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they one go to see...
One of them is supposed to be, like, either the savior of the world or destruction of the world. Depending on, like, the personality, I guess.
Yeah. So... So then they go to the Holy Mother. He wakes up Ellie, and they go to Holy Mother, all sorts of stuff. And they keep talking about the Beast Titan, not Beast Titan, Beast Chojin. And mm-hmm. Ellie's like, "Oh, if you want to see a beast, you should take a hike in a mountain or go to a zoo."
Fucking Ellie.
That's one flavor I liked. I was like, "Ah, that's hilarious, but true." And then so they found out that the Holy Mother is like Saruta. She's the founder of Yamato Moria. And then she puts him forward into like a vision of some sorts. So wasn't too much substantive stuff there. But yeah, they're beginning to find out some stuff that we'll learn about later when they decide to discuss it.
All right, so in Jujutsu, we found out the plan was to get, what's his name with the line across his head?
Geto, or Kenjaku.
Yeah, the plan was to get Geto to open up his domain extension from the start, because Homeboy, I am awful with names, Homeboy says... All the spaces here are empty barriers that, like, one who's an expert at barriers could control. But if she gets Geto to open up his domain expansion first, then the outer layer, the outer barrier of his domain will interact with the open barrier, and then he'll be able to analyze it and, What's the word for it?
Neutralize.
There you go. So she does succeed in getting him to open his domain expansion first, but his domain expansion was like open. There was no outer layer to it.
He didn't close it.
Yeah.
So they were talking about he opened the domain and simultaneously activates his curse technique without closing a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So they just all set up for failure.
And, like, she ended up taking a massive hit because all she did was use a simple domain and he couldn't analyze it because it wasn't, like, touching his barrier. So he opted to completely erase barriers by undoing his. And in turn, Geto thought it was too late for the girl, but the girl got up anyway. And she laid into him. And just when it seems like he was about to fuck her up, Blood Homie showed up.
Yeah. I was like, man, look at that. Look at you go. But yeah, I did think it was worth noting that she could heal herself. She's like, why don't you heal yourself? She's like, I don't want to. I was like, oh, okay.
She ain't trying to waste time.
Sheer destruction, yep. So
I should really like write some names down for these mangas we're reading.
Yes, you should. Write them down.
It's just this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy for me.
Yeah, I know. I know, dog. I know.
All right, so you want to talk about season 2, episode 10, Mob, first? Because I watched that.
Yeah, so basically my man, Mob, he's having an episode and his abilities are affecting magnetic fields and bone perception and everything that's pretty much going on.
What triggered the episode? Like, I get what triggered it, but like, why doesn't he have control?
I have no idea. Because I think his emotions were running high anyway. Because it was, he seen him getting hit and like him laying in the street as something that was going to take away from Getu Sabomi.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess his anger rage built up and that caused him to just go out of control to do whatever to get to her with and have the perfect setup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with that being said, I was thinking, I was like, my man Mob gets thrown through buildings and all sorts of stuff and he freaks out over a car hitting him. Did you think about that?
That's why I was so confused. But like, I just now thought of something that could be it, because when he wakes up internally a little later, he basically tells Hanezawa to either give up or like don't hold back, because he can't control what's currently going on out there. And you know how, like, since season 1, it's always been, like, what we assume was a rage meter?
Yeah.
Now, what if, instead, Mob is the way he is because he's always trying to keep that power under control? And, like, we can exclude sleeping. Maybe sleeping is, like, when he sleeps, the power in him sleeps as well, too, or, like, something like that. But, like, what if being hit by the car put him in some unconscious state where his power can take over? The one he's, like, usually keeping dormant and, like, controlling.
Yeah, the Gaara power.
Yeah, like, what if Mike's psychic power... Mob's psychic powers is, like, his Shikaku?
Makes sense. Because he couldn't control it. So, I don't know. His rage... It's very interesting.
I mean, I definitely feel like he's going to come to his senses when he sees Sabomi. Or, like, I think everyone's about to just show up.
Yeah, a whole bunch of people stop him or something. Yeah, I'm going to mention that more later towards the end, because that's what it seems like it was gearing up to.
It was just so weird watching season 2's episode 10 and then watching season 3 episode 10, because it seemed like, I know we see, like, a lot of these characters a lot anyway, but just a lot of, it was just, like, a lot of similarities between the two episodes.
Yeah. It's weirdness going on there.
Now, if Dimple shows up next episode, I'm gonna fucking flip my shit.
Yeah.
Because season two's episode 10 might have just spoiled everything for me.
Yeah, it could, if that's the case. But, anyhow, so... So they issued an evacuation order for the city. My man Mob still out of control, and Hanezawa shows up and he's trying to talk to the boy. Mob not hearing anything. He's just like, get out my way, stomping around, causing earthquakes when he walks. And Hanezawa, they start fighting or whatever. He's trying to stop him, and he gets shot in the air by Mob. Mob kicks him or pushes him up, and they shoots him in the air. And it's when Hanezawa goes into an internal monologue about how he learned that he shouldn't let his powers define him, and letting him define him was a sign of weakness. And he was like, he had to figure out who he was without his powers. I was like, oh, this is more reflection and growth that's going on throughout the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're fighting and the flowers get knocked out and Mob reacts to the flowers being threatened. He's like, oh, the flowers. And Hanzo was like, oh, if I destroy them, maybe Mob will wake up. Doesn't work. Mob put up a barrier on the flowers, which I feel like he could have just did around the kid and stopped this whole ordeal from happening. But then we wouldn't have this episode.
Correct.
But so he's still trying to wake up Mob. Then Mob yeets Hanazawa through a building. And my man Hanazawa is still trying to save him. He's trying to save the people because there's rubble falling down. And he still couldn't stop Mob. So Mob continues to rampage. And this is like the touching moment where he's like, oh, Mob's my rival. I learned so much. He's like, it's like you're just crying for someone to reach out and help you. The first time I met you, you were crying and you're looking for help. And so a touching moment. I definitely thought my homeboy lost his eyes when he got too close to Mob. I was like, oh, Mob had blown the boy's eyes out.
I know, bro. He was bleeding out his eyes, nose, I think his mouth too.
Yeah, I was like, my man done. I was like, he's finna die. So I was like, oh, man.
The
so
funny Mob thing about that, like, they were trying to have a really, really touching moment, but, like, it couldn't be as touching because Mob wasn't crying out inside for help. He actually just woke up at that point. He was just like, nah, bro, stop holding me back.
Yeah.
I mean, you really gotta fuck me up right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he was crying a little bit, but wasn't like before. So he's up like, Hanazawa ends up protecting people while getting close. So Mob then continues to rampage and he's walking ahead into the supermarket path with the folks that were also espers earlier. And they all like kind of recognize the energy.
I think they were in that episode I saw by mistake.
Yeah. And so I had a note here how Sabomi, she's reading like the news forecast. She's like, oh, I was like, I wish I would have got his number, Mob's number. But she's like, oh, he'll show up. I'm thinking to myself, he called you on the home phone. Couldn't you just call your mom, ask for the call log and get the number that way? And then call him again?
Nah, cause he called with the home phone.
Yeah, but even though he called with the home phone, like you could call his mom. Like, hey, I'm trying to get in touch with Mom. We had a stand-in date or whatever. Do you have a cell phone so I can reach him?
Mm-hmm.
You could have did. There was like other avenues. Like, you know, if you want to reach a call somebody, you can reach a call somebody.
Yeah, there was other things you could have did.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, that's just my two cents. So, and yeah, so then I think there's more people. They're going to stop Mob. They're trying to stop Mob. But then there's the villain from season two that's showing up and he's like, oh, he basically knocks out the Suicide Squad they had and the airplane. He's like, I'll handle this myself. It's like, you guys are too weak. They're like, oh, the six of us versus a little kid. I was like, oh man. So then he jumps out and he's gonna end up fighting Mob or trying to stop Mob. So
I feel like he's gonna get wrecked.
I feel like everyone's gonna get wrecked. Yeah, I think the only one that might have a chance, maybe Reagan.
No, I don't even think Reagan. I think it's either going to be Sabomi or Dimple. I think Dimple might show up.
Dimple in the middle. Smack dab in the middle. Squeezed in the middle. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what old Dimple Bear does. Maybe Dimple shows up. It's like, Shigeyu, your powers, your abilities, or whatever. So, I don't know. We shall see. But I feel like the episode's shaping up so that people, it's going to turn into one of those, oh, Mob, you meant this to me and that to me and this, that, and the other type episode.
Wake up, Mob. So, wake up.
Wake up, Mob. It's time.
As he's like destroying all of them.
Yeah, this isn't you, Mob. You're better than this. Oh, stop. please, no. Yeah. So that's what I feel like is going to happen. It's going to turn into that type of episode.
Let me give everyone a quick rundown on the Sacred Blacksmith. Actually, we probably should have started with this one. But that's all right. Real quick, episode 3, Demon Sword. Crazy Salvation Knight guy was having nightmares and he's still seeking to be saved. Arya was talking about how this town's good because, you know, there's more lively people than dead people and everyone seems nice. And she goes on a monologue on how since she was created, she's only been used to kill others and, like, people betray the ones they trust to have her in their grips so they can kill other people with her. And she really, like, killed their mood. But, you know, wrapping it up, we found out that the king, I think it was, or the mayor, basically gave them an unlimited food budget because she likes to eat. Arya likes to eat. And Arya can, at will, transform between sword and human form, and she's a demon sword that controls wind. And the guys in prison have those bugs in them that, like, possesses their mind. They're ravaging out through the city. The captain tells Cicely to stay there. She already has her mission. But Arya's just like, you said your mission is to protect people. Well, let's go protect people. Can't stay here forever if the city's no longer here.
Yeah, pity the fool.
Yeah, so when it came to it, though, when Cicely had to stop one of the possessed beings, she couldn't bring herself to slay a human being. So one of the knights had to do it for her, and that's how that went. And we end the episode with the crazy man being with the guy in the hood. And I think he's about to enter a devil's contract.
Well, no, he already entered one so he could survive the war. Yeah, so he might be destroying, it might be ending. So I don't know if he'll go on a rampage, but there's like, yeah. And there's like, oh, you entered the contract so you could survive the war. So I was like, huh. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Hey, and no smut.
Yeah, I was going to say there's no smut. And then there was also the part where Arya says that Cicely, she's a different kind of knight. And I feel like she might end up being her new sword.
Oh, I knew from like when I saw her in the credits, that like she was gonna be like a permanent one. I was like, well, this girl needs a sword, and this girl turns into a sword. I guess the writing's on that wall.
And then I also thought, worth noting too, where was it? I forgot. But the sword. Oh yeah. So old boy Luca, they said he was looking for a sword to kill God, and turns out one of her invocations, Arya, to turn to a sword is like, and to slay God. So he was like, huh. Which it turned into a, was it Lucy turned into a thing that was like, oh, he and slay cod, or he's looking to kill cod. I was like, oh, so now you're looking for a fish. I was like, oh, okay, we're just going to roll with that.
I guess, guess Luke wants to kill some gods.
Yeah, and I also think about noting too was that her like chainmail. I went back because I was like, she has an undershirt on in the opening. I was like, huh. So let me do some looking into this. And so I actually went back and looked at the episode, and it turns out like her armor cracked and peeled away her undershirt with her. So I guess that's how they did it. I'm like, that makes kind of no sense.
I know. The clothes is fabric. It can't break like that.
Yeah. And like, it just like, it kind of, I think it ripped it like the shoulders, just peeled away in the front with the, when the armor left out, unless it was like built in or woven into the armor. I could see that.
But let's just call a spade here. That was smut just for smut purposes.
Yeah, that's what I was like, huh, that's interesting. But yeah.
Unnecessary smut.
Yeah, so I went back and looked. I was like, huh.
So that was another reason in Peach Boy Riverside, I was kind of like in disbelief for a moment with Frau, since we mentioned her coming back. And I was like, she's like part of the opening and the ending intros and outro. They ain't gonna kill her, right? Like, she dead, or she just, I don't know. That happened too quick.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, bit her head and just
blew her up. I was like, holy shit, bro. Is Fro okay? Has half her fucking body plops.
I thought it was like a blood explosion, but I was like, ooh, she did. I was like, well, another one bites the dust. On to the next one.
Damn. But let's talk about Peach Boy Riverside so we can end on Spy Family.
Family of Spies. Yeah. Go ahead. Spark it on off.
Episode 5, Frau and the Vampire. Okay. We start off the episode with a bit of comedic relief or whatever.
That was also going to be one of mine.
They heard Hawthorne heard the rumors about the vampire in the town, and Sally got all scared. It's like, maybe we should camp out. It's like, oh no, you don't have to be worried. Vampire is like beauties. You don't even qualify. And, you know, he got decked.
He got lit up. I was like, dang.
And then in this episode, I think this was more of an episode of Mecky, who is now named Carrot, and I don't really understand why we're going from Mecky to Carrot. But like, not really understanding. I think she misunderstood Sally. So they get into town, and for some reason, they're not even trying to hide Frau. Even though they know demi-humans are, like, unwelcome. They went through the effort of hiding her before, but now it's just like, just let her be.
Yeah.
But they're going through town, and, like, Sally gets pissed off because people were, like, discriminating against Frau. But, like, Hawthorne convinced her to back off. And Mecky, who is now Carrot, is like, why don't you use your power against them? It's like, it seems my power doesn't work against humans. And I think Carrot misunderstood that. Because she goes, well, but you can use it against ogres, but you choose not to use it against humans. And like, no, I don't think that's it. I think she literally meant, like, she doesn't go accurate. Peach mode against humans. Yeah. She can't. It's an involuntary thing that she does whenever there's an ogre around.
Yeah.
So I think that was like kind of the basis of this episode, dealing with Carrot's struggle between, like, they never build up this sentimentality between Carrot and Sally, but like, we're led to believe that Carrot thought that Sally was different because of the way they, like, started their journey together. But that simple misunderstanding caused, I guess, conflict within herself. And, like, she got to witness in a powerless state the discrimination that Frau withstood, because they went into town shopping and the guy was, like, being a real dick to Frau and, like, gave Frau the change but, like, threw it on the ground and was like, you pick up your own change. And yeah. I think the whole situation just left Carrot feeling frustrated and vulnerable and, like, a little anxious, I'd say she kind of looked.
I think it's more like spilling feelings of despair, because she's like, why are they so mean to people? And she's like, if I had my power, I'd slaughter people. And
yeah, bro. It's like, okay, but you're talking about killing everyone.
I mean, it's one of those ones where, like, I guess we can kind of empathize with that because there's been times where, like, I'm like, dang, homie, and you put the change in my hand. He just threw it on the counter, you know? Where, like, you know, you could tell someone don't like you, even though they're not overtly too obvious. You're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess she's feeling like, why are people doing like this? Like, she's a person. even though she looks differently. So she's struggling with that concept of people just being mean to be mean for no reason.
Right. So then she goes to Frost. She's like, why aren't you angry or like fighting them? She's like, used to it. It's like, used to it? It's like, yeah, I've always been like that. It's like, but why? And it's like, and then Frost's like, because people like Sally make it better. And this is when Kara has like her inner monologue, like, Sally, no, it wasn't even in or out. She was like speaking out. She's like, Sally would do this, this, that, and that. And Frost's like, but Sally only does that to protect us. And like, Kara is still in disbelief. So like, she hears about the vampire and she knows who it is. I guess she can still use her other eye for aura. I think she kind of used some of her powers, just not
a lot of it. Full destructive powers, but I think she has.
She would be like an infant or something.
Yeah, or like, not an infant, but like basic powers. Nothing that enhances her abilities she can use probably.
So at this,
yeah, she senses aura. She's like, oh, I know that aura. I know who that is.
Yeah, so. At this point, I was like, oh, I guess the vampire is an ogre. If she knows who the vampire is. I could have been wrong about that, but it was an assumption I made.
Yeah, I think any person that's not human that possesses some type of power, they call ogres.
They have to have a horn.
Yeah, and horn. Yeah, his horns was his fangs.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she approaches, what's my man's name? Kyuketsu. No, Kyuketsuki. The blood-sucking ogre.
Yeah.
And she asks him to kill everyone in the town. And he's like, oh, I'm going to start with that Sally. She's like, nah, I don't want you to kill Sally. Well, are you telling me to spare a human who's a threat to ogre kind? And before this, I finally got my answer to like Sally's fear of octopus. She did have a traumatizing event when she was a kid with an octopus.
That I wrote that down too, because I was like, oh, finally get to know why she hates octopi.
Yeah. But to continue where we left off, Sally's struggling to say, no, not Sally. Carrot's struggling to say to kill Sally too, and then Frost shows up. You don't have to say it. Just come back with me, says with a smile. And Vamp Dude is just like, oh, you'll be I have nothing to. I don't have business with you. I have business with Sally. And then Frog goes, well, then I have business with you. So they start going at it, and Homie is too slow, but Frog is too weak for him. So he catches her when she tried to hit him, and he bites into her and blows her upper half out. To which,
back out.
Sally, whose Peach Eye activated, found them and saw Frost's body, lower half, just plop into the ground. And then immediately starts running towards Kyuketsuki. And when he thought that it wasn't going to do much, her punch made him cough up blood. So then he goes to try to attack her with blood, and then I like this moment too, and she kind of just let the blood hit her, and she's like, and he's like bragging about it, and she was like, I didn't even feel that. It's like, the ogre powers don't work on me. Which, you think Sally has this in a bag, but then he uses the ogre powers on the clothes and like strings her up, and as soon as she's about to kill Sally, Carrot interferes. So then Kyuketsuki turns his attention towards Carrot and is about to kill her. And we see Frog in heaven. And she's talking to Atla, an angel girl. And she's like, Frog, you know this is heaven, right? And it's like, this is the second time this year. I was like, wait, she dies often?
Like probably how Sally found her the first time.
Oh, you think she was being revived?
Yeah.
I was like, bro, how often does this bunny-looking demi-human die?
Yeah, she's like, I'm hungry.
She's like, so she was like, I'm going to go back. It's like the normal version way, revival instead of reincarnation. It's like, yeah, and I'm going to use a little, I'm going to use some power this time. And then Atta's like, oh, but you're in a flesh and body and flesh. Your vessel won't be able to hold it. So it's like, ah, all I need is one hit. I'm like, all right, Fra, okay.
Yeah. And you don't stop.
So Frog just shows up before her body even forms. Her legs just stand up and like the rest of her body appears and she sprouts out some black wings, black hornish looking things, which if it's a horn, is she an ogre? Is she part ogre too? I don't know. And like her eyes go really red. She almost looks like a rabbit.
Rabbit.
And she punches a freaking hole in the vampire ogre's chest, and where he falls down, you know, he can't use blood anymore, so Sally is free, and he goes over and reminisces about how he chose to live amongst the humans. He fell in love with a girl, and as they were gonna get married and he wanted to kiss her, his ogre instincts kicked in, and before he even realized it, she was dead by his teeth, and he kind of regretted that and was looking for, I guess he was looking for a chance to die ever since.
And that's what I was thinking he was.
Yeah. So then he wished, he called her Carrot, and I'm officially calling this girl Carrot now because the dying vampire called her Carrot. So he wishes Carrot good luck with her new companionship, and that's how we ended the episode.
Yeah.
So overall, I enjoyed the episode. It was a lot of Frog really took it for me. I was like, oh damn.
Yeah. She was the one. I was like, oh. So I think she's not actually a hair folk because she's like, oh, your blood tastes different. So I feel like she might be some sort of a deity. Set in part to like help human ogre relations or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. I was like, oh, you're not a hair folk. You're like, you're something else. So yeah.
Yeah, good episode. He did say that. I'm wondering what she was or is.
Yeah. Then he was like, oh, I'd be glad your horns go on, Carrot. He's like, go live a long life. Yeah, I think he was just sad, or he might have heard about how Peach Boy was killing people and disappearing, so he might have just was trying to find a way to get Peach Boy there sooner. That's why he started eating people.
Maybe. One other thing I noticed that was being said in this episode that I forgot to touch on is that not only did it seem like they randomly started calling Mecky Carrot, but for some reason, when Fra went shopping and Carrot decided she was going to go with Fra, she spoke as if Fra was more than one person or more than one being.
I saw that too. They were like, they. I was like, huh.
And okay. And doubled down with them. Like, they might get into trouble. I'll go with them. I was like, what?
Yeah. I was thinking that it could either be like a translation error or Fra just prefers the pronoun they or them. So I don't know. That's why I wrote it
down. No, don't tell me that. And yeah, stop. Don't tell me anime is not safe from this.
I was just saying. I was thinking that might be her preferred pronoun. So I wrote it down. But I was like,
stop.
We never did get any more other explanation.
So. I suppose that could be a possibility.
Yeah.
All right. You want to get into some spy?
Fire Family, Season 1, Episode 22, The Underground Tennis Tournament, The Camp Belladon. So we get a little monologue from Fiona Frost, a.k.a. Nightfall. She thinks that Lloyd has gone soft while being in that family. She's like, oh, he's a chipped knife. But she's like, oh, I also love his new gentler side. Like, huh? What?
Yeah, she is Boa Hancock level simp.
I think she... Well, I don't even mind her being a simp for Lloyd. Because, you know, Lloyd's not bad.
Damn.
Goofy. And so I'm like, yeah, you can send for Lloyd. Shoot, I might even send for Lloyd.
I'll send for your.
Yeah, I've sent for her hard too. Or Fiona, one of the two.
Yeah, Fiona's a badass.
Shoot, I can't even complain. So then we find out that their mission is to get the lady in the sun painting. And they talk about a Zacharias dossier. And apparently it holds experiments and what they did to prisoners of war for like each side. And if this information gets released to the public, it will cause the war to like reignite. So I think they said it was like a something under thin ice or something weird. I can't remember the analogy now. And so they come up with this idea that they have to play tennis and the winner of the tournament gets to pick the prize. So if they win the tournament, they pick the prize they want the most. And the picture that they want is one of the prizes that they can pick. So all they have to do is win. And Lloyd's only tennis experience so far was playing with Yor and Anya. And so it starts, and my man gets four aces in a row against retired pro players.
Shit was crazy, but what happened after it was just as crazy.
Yeah, they were over the top. They were doing things I ain't never seen before.
Frost put so much topspin on that ball, it just kept bouncing into the fence.
Yeah, and turning, I was like, oh man, yeah. They did so well. They could play well. They could hold their own. Like, I ain't mad at them. So. Yeah, so I was enjoying it. And she's not bad either. She's pretty good. So. Mm-hmm. And then she visited Lloyd saying, let's play doubles in the game of life. I thought that was hilarious.
I thought their team name's hilarious. They were like the phony pair.
Yeah. I think like George Phoney or what is it? George Phoney or Fiona Phoney or something. It was something in their last name, the Phonies.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, they could have did a little better name than the Phoney. So.
I think it's hilarious.
It's hilariously comical.
That you're a phony. Actually,
yeah, they're not who they are. So then the next game comes up and they play against these advanced doping brothers, the Burke brothers. And so they're a bunch muscle head out. They took some serum while they was back there. Then we flash to Yor and Anya, and Yor is deep in thought about Fiona's relationship with Lloyd.
Yeah, she made my girl jealous, bro.
She's like, oh, is she there? And he's like, she's one of his colleagues, and then she thinks about killing Fiona so that her place wouldn't be gone, too. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
We got a secret rivalry going on.
Sure do. So then we flash back to Lloyd and them, and they train, and they trash talk Lloyd. And Fiona, she didn't like that too much, so she ended up hitting them all with smashes and beating her face in and doing stuff. So then they eventually face the final, and there's Campbell's sons and daughter. And this was another part I thought was hilarious, too. When Lloyd grabs her hand, and she's like, oh, Lloyd, you're going to take me right here now? He's like, but I'm not even ready yet. I was like, wow. And then he's like, he basically tells her to stop trying to take on stuff by yourself. Like, that's how I lost a whole bunch of my comrades. And like, he's like, oh, he cares about me. And he's like, you need to take care of your hands. Like, you can take easy the next one and this and the other. And she's like, no, I'm gonna stand right beside you. And then she's like, my hand even feels warm to the touch. And she's like, oh, there's something in here. And then so that's when they did a little Morse code, and they had pumped in like gas that was colorless and odorless to kind of incapacitate them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, oh, we're just going to hide in the lockers until it's time. So they end up getting smoked the first set because the stuff's in there. And so once it wears off, they went the next 3 points. And you can tell this is where it's rigged. because they're moving the floor. But let's talk about their opponent's weapons.
Equipment? Yo, bro, the rocket racket and then the almost like the slinky racket, the one connected to the string.
Go gadget arms.
This shit was fucking wild.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that is crazy. Like, he said, shouldn't even be allowed. So,
and he goes, don't think this is underhanded or anything. It takes a lot of skill to use this. I'm like, aren't you just pressing it before you hit it for extra velocity?
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, then we get to, they can also, they have 36 hinges to move the floor.
Mm-hmm. And then they're assuming there's other ways to
interfere. Like probably move the net up and this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren's like, I'm not going to let them get away with it. And this is when she loves them.
She loves me. She loves me more. She loves me. Like, I love them. She loves me more.
Yeah, I do think this episode lacked a little Anya in here. Could have used a little bit more Anya.
I think that's why they like squeezed her in at some point. It's like, you know what this episode's missing? Some Anya.
Yeah. I did think it was, she almost got caught by Yorb. I don't think Yorb would have been smart enough to figure it out.
No, not at all.
She's like, don't worry, mama. And she's like, oh, is she reading my mind? He's like, don't worry, mama. Papa will come back with the best prize. And so, yeah, I thought that was done. I thought that was funny, too.
Oh, man. I'm excited for next episode.
Yeah. I'm going to get on it. Cause get down on it.
All right, Irby. Anything you want to further discuss?
Nuh-uh. I mean, I've been watching The Plunderer, which kind of threw me for a loop. I'm like, okay, this is very different now.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, not different bad. I was like, all right, something don't make sense now. Like, there's something going on that like they haven't explained fully yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I know you're not too interested, but I think next, either tomorrow or next week, it's going to be Luffy versus Rob Lucci round two.
Who's Rob Lucci?
The pigeon guy that can turn into a leopard that kidnapped Robin.
Iron Body.
Yes, those people.
The one that Luffy looked at for like 3 seconds and came up with a new technique.
Maybe?
Yes. He's like, oh, gear two!
No, that's one of them, but yes, those people.
Yeah. Huh, interesting. Maybe I'll read again, because I forgot to read them.
Sorry, dog. I'll read One Piece for you, read Boruto for me.
Nah, dog. I'll get it at some point.
And eventually I'll get back into Boruto.
You won't.
I think I'll get into Boruto before you get into One Piece.
I'll read One Piece today. Say less.
I always skim through Boruto.
Psych. Nah, name one thing to happen.
Name one thing to happen?
Nah, I'm kidding.
I saw them talking.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all. I didn't see any action parts. Like, I skimmed through it. I just kept seeing Boruto talking with other people. And like Shikamaru and blah blah blah. But anything else, sir?
No, that's it.
And I don't think I have anything going on either. Alright, so guys, that's gonna do it for this episode. Thank you for listening. If you like, you know what to do. Share us. And like us. You know? Peace!
Peace.